Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise Him in the sanctuary. Praise Him with string instruments. Praise Him with the drums. Praise Him with the harp and the lute. And praise Him with your voice this morning. Give God praise this morning. We don't want to be any Pharisees in this house. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. I'm a believer, right? Whoever shall believe in the name of Jesus shall be saved. What do you have to do? Believe. What's the cost? Nothing. Except put him in your heart. Jesus is the one. The way, the truth, the life. I'm a believer and I am a saint in Christ because I believe. You're all saints in Christ. You're all your salvation secure forever and ever because he called you and you heard him. Hallelujah. Obviously, we have another song to sing. And obviously, we have a very special person who's going to sing it today. She's going to be the first today to be water baptized. The first one today to be in that water and just doing exactly what the Word of God tells us to do in obedience. And we've been practicing. Lord, I hope you get it right. Ready?
Thank you.
stand with us now if they get you off. Thank you, Lord. Praise God on this beautiful day at this beautiful church and a beautiful message. I'll fly away by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Whoever shall believe in his name shall be saved. It's not any works that we do. It's not an effort. It's a belief in the changing of your heart. The changing of your heart to him. You didn't have him. You chose him. You took him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's how great our God is. Promise of eternity with Jesus in the paradise. promises of being blessed today. How many want to be blessed today? You call on His name. You praise His name. You praise His name, the blessings begin. How does that, Pastor? Because when you praise His name, you start to forget about whatever it was that aggravated you this morning. Because we know things aggravate you in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. But when you praise His name, it takes your mind off of that. It puts it on the light. Puts it on the promise. And look, He got you all here today. So whatever it is you were worried about yesterday, He got you here today. He answered that prayer. Thank the Lord. He answered your prayer yesterday. I can't even begin to count how many prayers He's answered for me yesterday. And you're all the same, I'm sure. And remember, church, what I say over and over again, and I only repeat myself, for me and for you. Understand, when I'm preaching for me as well as for you. There is no such thing in this world as a small prayer answer. No such thing. If God answered your prayer, it's a huge, it's a blessing, and God gave it to you.
Amen.
No such thing as a, and we're not lucky, we are blessed. How many times have we said, oh, I was lucky that I found a parking place? No, you were blessed. Thank you, Lord. You all fired up like me. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. How could you not praise Him in His house? If you're not going to praise Him on a Sunday morning, I'll tell you, you're not going to praise Him on a Tuesday afternoon. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Yes, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory. Yes, we can all see it. He has remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of the Lord. All the ends of the earth is pretty far. There's a lot there at the end of the earth. All people are saved. He wants nobody to perish. Understand that. He wants nobody to perish. Our job is to bring the people to Christ. Our job is to tell people about Christ. We told a lady the other day, Maddie and I were checking out at this, and she saw my cross, and she said, are you a believer? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she said, so am I. I said, hello, sister, God bless you. And I said, my granddaughter's going to be water baptized on Sunday. And she went out, so, take pictures. You see what God does to one person? God moved that person to joy. She wasn't having joy at work. All of a sudden, we had a conversation, and she had so much joy that the person ringing us up had no idea what we were talking about. But she, oh, take pictures. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad. You see what God can do? He can move mountains. And I'm telling you, what mountains are? People you never thought would believe. That's a mountain. Anybody here ever been a mountain? I've seen this church full of mountains. God has taken some folks that we've had in this church. It's funny how that's happened. We've lost so many beautiful people to Jesus. See, we lost them. He got them. We really did. But some of those people I've known, and Miss, you know, probably know Mr. Marsh. I would have guessed when I was 18 years old, he'd never go to church. Never go to, never go to church. Then he walked into this church one day and never missed a Sunday for years. Found a girlfriend, he brought her to the church. She never missed a Sunday. God moves mountains. You just got to believe it. Now the quiz. I hope you guys do better than you did last week. Can I get that water? That's holy water, right? Oh, no, you don't, no dispensation for bringing the water. I'm sorry. How many times did Balaam strike the donkey before the Lord opened Balaam's eyes? How many times did he strike his donkey? So you know, the donkey was doing bad things, walking into walls and falling down. So did he hit him 2 times, 3 times, or 4 times? How many times did Balaam strike the donkey? How many think twice? He hit him twice. Went to the left, went to the right. How many think 3 times? Oh, look at this church. Great. Way to go, great. How many think 4 times? We got a couple of four. Jim, really? 4 times? You're just saying that to me. You know. He went to the left, then he went to the right, and the third time he just fell right down on the ground. He got him 3 times. And the donkey said, "Why haven't you struck me these three times?" And he said, "If I had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you." And then the angel of the Lord appeared and said, "If it wasn't for him, I'd have taken you out." Three times. How many times? Now here's the trick question. In what book of the Bible do you find the story of Balaam? In which book? Is it Chronicles? Is it Judges? Or is it Numbers? In what book of the Bible do we find Balaam and his donkey? How many think Chronicles? It's in Chronicles? How about Judges? We get Judges. How about Numbers? We get Numbers? Numbers. Judges? Anybody? In one of the first five books of the Bible, in the book of Numbers. Numbers 22. Marilyn's happy. She got that one right. Take a little praise, Marilyn. Go over. 22nd chapter of Numbers. Numbers. That's a good one. What happened to Paul in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? What happened to him while Paul was in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? Was he imprisoned? Did he have good success? Or was he persecuted? What happened to Paul while he was in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? How many think that he was in prison? Anybody? How about that he had good success? He had great success. How about that he was persecuted? Well, the answer is he endured persecution. Hallelujah. That's what the answer is. So you think spreading God's word is easy? You think it was easy for these guys? They didn't have any money. They didn't have cars. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have computers. They had no printing press to print. They just walked around telling people what Jesus. You think that was easy? And people hearing the truth saying, "I don't want to hear that. What, are you kidding me? I can't have any fun." What do you mean? They didn't want, imagine the work it took for Paul and John and Luke and Mark to go all over the world and all over spreading the gospel to people who had no idea what they were talking about, and all they had was their testimony. You see how powerful your testimony is? It wrote the Bible. Praise God. So he was persecuted. When talking about his bride in the Song of Songs, Solomon, to what does the king not liken his bride's beauty to? When he talks about his bride in the Song of Solomon, to what does the king not liken his bride to? Rose, a heap of wheat, or two fawns? What is it that he doesn't refer to his bride as? He doesn't liken his bride's beauty to? How many think rose? Anybody rose? How about a heap of wheat? Anybody? My wife's not like. How about two fawns? Not two fawns. No. He does not liken his bride to be a rose. So she is a heap of wheat, according to Song of Songs, and she is twin fawns. A heap of wheat. Don't try it. Don't try it. No. Please don't try it later on. You know, I just love you so much. You're like a heap of wheat. I'm glad Nora's not here. You probably do that to me. Please don't say that to your wife later. You're like a heap of wheat. When the bride goes to her lover in the Song of Songs in Solomon, where does she awaken him? Where does she find him and awaken him? Up on the mountain? At the banquet? Or under the apple tree? Let me read that again. I want to get it right for you. When the bride goes to her lover in the Song of Songs, where does she awaken him? How about anything up on the mountain? Up on the mountain, high on the hill. How about at the banquet? He fell asleep at the banquet. How about under the apple tree? Look at you guys. Good one. Under the apple tree. Well, give yourself some praise. Come on. Yeah, that's where it came from. But anybody else looking? We have another guest here today, Elvira Brock. Thank you very much for being part of our home today. How are you? Good to see you. Yeah, thank you for coming to our church today. Sitting right up front. Thank you. Madison, thank you for singing that song and bringing it to us today. You did a great job. Your pop's really proud of you, and I'm sure that everybody loved it. Would you all say, give Madison a nice applause? And not only did I want to get it right for her, but I had to get it right for my bride too. You know how that is. Woo! I know. A pastor. What is a pastor? An imperfect man. Preaching to an imperfect church. Perfect words. When I speak scripture, I'm speaking perfect words. From an imperfect man to an imperfect church. Truth in the Lord. Looking at faces, hearts, and spirits. Praying one word that I speak every Sunday finds its way through the wall, through the mind, into your heart. So I say, let it be, Lord, that as the preacher preaches these words, they are felt in every soul, including the one preaching. I pray that I receive the message that God gives me and that I'm sharing with you today as much as I pray that you receive the message. One word that gets through the wall, gets through the head, and goes right into the heart. Hallelujah. Imperfect as we are, let us not look at our brother's faults. Let's not remember other people's words. Let us stop and receive our own needs. When you pray to God, pray for your needs. When you pray to God, pray for Him to help you, to lead you, to guide you. Knowing the truth. What is the truth? Worry, fear, doubt, anger, lies, self, selfish desires, and foolish words are not from God. If I judge you, God judges me. In the manner that I judge you, God judges me. If you judge somebody else, God will say, okay, you've judged, I have to judge you. And even more, He takes it a next step. He said, in the manner that you judge someone else, in the severity that you judge someone else, in how you are, He's saying, well, now I have to judge you with that same intensity. Think about that. We are imperfect. So I would tell you this morning, remember where the plant lies. Yeah? All right. If I had to choose one word in the Bible that changes lives, really, I asked Madison this earlier. If I had to pick one word, what would it be? Changes of action. Changes our mind. One word about you. One word about me. Recognizing that you have done wrong. One word in the whole Bible. And it says in 2 Corinthians, for godly grief produces it. That leads to salvation without regret. So whatever that one word is, godly grief produces it. It's not a work we do to earn salvation. Would you all say that? It's not a work we do to earn salvation. Think about that. It's inside of us, for it is given to us by God. This word that I'm talking about, and I'm going to tell you in a minute, is inside of you right now, and I know it is because of this scripture in John. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You almost have to understand that God called you, but it was because of the Father allowed it that you were called and that you agreed. God accepted you. God accepted you right then, right that second. He said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So God is drawing you, and as God draws you, you're drawn to the Son. And He said, and I will raise him up on the last day. This word I'm talking about today produces fruit, good success in you and in me. Hallelujah. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. 2 Corinthians. If anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has done what? Passed away. And what's that word? What's that pill? What's that spark? The word is repent. The most powerful word, and one of the most powerful words in your Bible, if not the most. Because you must repent before you give your heart to God. You must repent before you leave. And the word repent does not mean that you change, that you're sorry about your sins. The word repent means that you have a changing of heart. That's what the word repentance, that you had a changing of heart. The minute you had salvation, you had a changing of heart. One minute you didn't know Jesus, you didn't accept Him, you heard about Him maybe, People talked about one day you said, I accept you, Lord, into my heart. You repented. You had a changing of heart and a changing of mind. That's why the word repent is the most powerful word in the Bible, because that one word changes you, who you are, immediately. Hallelujah. Baptism declares that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again today. Baptism declares that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That means you already, before you were baptized, you are what? You are a follower of Jesus Christ. So a public confession of your faith is what baptism is. You're here, you got saved, and now I'm saved. Everybody sees you're saved. And said, I'm going to make a public confession. I want to be baptized. I'm going to be water baptized. A public confession. The water is what? The washing away of sins, then the new life we have in Christ. You go into the water, you're washing away your sins, and you come back out, and you're clean. Amen? White as snow. Hallelujah. It is the union, it is our union with Christ. When you do the act of the baptism, it's your union with Christ. Outward, everybody can see it. It's another word that's really important in the Bible besides repent is obedient. How many know that Jesus was obedient? You know, we talk about submission. I was talking to Jimmy James earlier about submission. You know, and the women sometimes think that, well, they have to be submissive to the man. I said, well, that's kind of Bible, but if the man says you have to be submissive to me, he has something he has to do. And what is that? Supply every need. You see, the guys kind of forget that right now. If the woman has to be submissive to her husband, then the husband has to supply all the needs. You work together. It's a union, but the man is responsible for the needs. And I tell you that obedience is important because Jesus, how many love him? How many worship him? Right? He was obedient to his Father. He had no problem being submissive to his Father. How many times he said, it's the Father. I go to the Father. I go to the Father almost to get his permission, although he knew he was submissive to his Father. Nobody knows the time or the season when he's coming back except the Father. Praise God. So obedience to his word. And what is his word? Go and make disciples of all nations. Making them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, whatever we're doing. That's obedience to his word. Go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, go and make everybody a believer of all nations. You're a disciple, you're a believer. And then baptize them. Everywhere the gospel is preached and people are drawn to faith in Christ, they are to be baptized. John, remember Matthew 3, John the Baptist? Yeah. Y'all remember John the Baptist. What did he say? That word again. Ready? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he mean? He said, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who is that? Jesus. He's saying repent because he's here. I tell you right now, he's here. He's here now. Repent. And he is here. Isn't that amazing? You know, John saw him. So I want you to get this today. I want you to really understand this today. It's going to change your life. I know it will. Repent is not a feeling. To feel bad about your sins. It's not. Repent makes a change in your mind. The Greek translation for repent is change of heart. Change of mind. It's an action. Your action to stop sinning. To become a new man. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Repent is a change of mind towards Jesus. Towards who? Towards Jesus. When you repent and have a change of mind toward Jesus and you accept him, you have salvation. Understand that? It was the word repent that did it. You had to repent first. You had to change. Matthew 4:17, Jesus says, ready? What does he say? Repent. Mark 1:14, Jesus says what? Repent and believe in the gospel. He had a little bit something there. And that's what you do. If you repent and you put Jesus in your heart, you want to believe the gospel because you're accepting the gospel. You're accepting the good news, the gospel. And who is the good news? Jesus. So when you repent, he said repent and enjoy that and believe in the gospel. Jesus said that. So repent, have a change of heart, receive me, and then receive the good news. It's all one. Mark 16 says, so they went out and preach to people that people should repent. And I'm going to change the flavor of that word, I pray to you, because I understand that people think that's an ugly word. It's a beautiful word, and I'm going to change the flavor of that word today for you, for what we're doing and what you've done in your life and what we do every day. Repent, have a change. I did something yesterday that I'm sorry for, yes, but I'm going to repent. I'm going to have a change of heart. Not just words, it takes action. This is one that people just take for a second. Let me explain it. Acts 2:38, it says, Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Read that again. It said, "And let every one of you repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Some people like to say that, well, that means baptism is a part of salvation. No, it's not. It's whoever shall believe in the name of Jesus shall be saved. That's it. What he's saying there is, he said, repent. How many remember the word repent? What does it mean? Have a change of mind, have a change of heart, and accept God. You repented, you accepted God, you got salvation, and now be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the gift of baptism. The presence of the Holy Spirit, that's what he's saying. So say it again, repent. Okay, I change my heart and I accept you, Lord, and let every one of you be baptized. I accept you, Lord. Now I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. Yes, that's what I had. And I want to receive the Holy Spirit. You see, the simplicity of Christ, if you just read one word and just take it in, shall receive the gift. To be baptized in his name means you have accepted him in your heart. You're saying, I believe. Whoever shall believe shall be saved. Hallelujah. Repent. Well, you can hear that word a thousand times and not understand how beautiful it is. You cannot understand that. When you're a sinner, and I'm going to get to that, If you're having problems and you hear that word, it's like, oh, please stop. Please stop telling me. Please stop telling me. Because it sounds like a bad word. But it's a beautiful word. Because it's a healing word. Because it's a word that changes who you are, changes your life like that. God doesn't wait to bless you, you know. God blesses you even when you sin. How many know that's true? So if he blesses you when you sin, wait until you get in obedience with God. Oh, dear Lord. You can't stop them. So repent needs a new flavor. I love that. Our sins are always before us. Be we sin against God. So we must repent. Period. From death to life. Repent, repent, repent. I wrote that because I want you to start understanding. It sounds like a harsh word, but it's not. It's a beautiful. Jesus said to repent. Hallelujah. What is it? You must be honest. I know Brother Dave and I spoke about this, about today. This is serious today. And what's serious about it is today people being baptized are being obedient to the Word of God, to the Scriptures, to everything. It's important. It's serious. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful celebration. But it's very serious. So we must repent. We must be honest. It's true. You might have pain and sorrow, unsatisfied with the choices that you made. That pain and sorrow is in there. God put that in there. I read you before the scripture. You wouldn't have that if God didn't allow you to feel his love, to understand what you're doing is not just wrong for you, but wrong with him. It's wrong in his eyes, and you're hurting yourself. Praise the Lord. You're unsatisfied with your choice. You're hurting you, and you're hurting those you love and those you care about. Those who love you. You're hurting God and again hurting you, your body and your heart. Then you repent. You stop. You change. To the sinner, it's a very ugly word. Amen. You know what I mean? It's like anybody see an exorcist or you saw the movie or whatever, and he's throwing the holy water and he's saying in the Bible, and the devil's screaming out because he's angry. When you're sinning, you're angry. You don't want to hear anything good. You don't want anybody to tell you to stop. You don't want anybody to tell you you need to stop. You see, that's what you want. You don't want to hear that but if you hear it and truly understand the love that's behind it, wow, then you repent. You stop. You change. To the sinner, it's an ugly word because it reminds you that you're in a battle. You fight it. Boy, I tell you, we fight a lot of things, amen? We fight a lot of things in our lives. How many of each have a battle? We all do. We all got things we do. We all got things we say and we do. We think we're better than we're not, but we're not. It's only because we repent and give our heart to God every day and ask Him to forgive us. But we're all fighting a battle. You fight it. But truth is stronger. That's the good news. Truth is stronger. That's where you should be cheering God. Sin wants to take. Let me say that again. Write that on your refrigerator. Sin wants to take from you. Hallelujah. Truth wants to lift you up and let you shine. Truth wants to give. God wants to give to you. The devil wants to take from you. The lies from the pits of hell are stealing your joy. Stealing the joy from people you claim to love. Yet you hurt. We all do it. We all fall short. But this is something that you really need to get inside of your understanding. God is ready to forgive you like that. He's ready to bless you. All you need to do is repent and trust Him. Because the truth wants to lift you up higher than you thought. It wants you to shine. And all Satan wants to do is steal everything from you. And if you stay in that sin, he will do it. He will do it. And God had nothing to do with it because you turned your back. Sin wants to take. But truth wants to lift you up and shine in victory. Your victory. And so what's the pill? Anybody ever take medicine? Anybody here take medicine? You take it every day. You hope that it does what it does, right? You hope that this little thing that works. The little tiny pill is going to keep my heart beating, right? So I take it every day. I have a pill for you. It's called repent. That's the cure. You repent. You take the pill every day. You take other things you don't know you're hoping that it does. God said, I got a pill for you. The cure. Victory for you. The cure, the sounds of victory inside of you. Speak to your ears. It's life. You say, I'm winning again because of one word in the Bible. I'm winning the battle because of one word in the Bible. And what's that word?
Repent.
Each of us as believers walk with God. Our salvation is between you and God. Let me tell you that again. Your salvation is between you and God. I would never say somebody's not saved. I would never even claim it. I would just hope that they're saved. And if they're not, I'll try to lead them to be saved. Accept Jesus. Repent and accept them in your heart. But your salvation is between you and God. God called you, and this is the beautiful part where people don't understand about your Bible and your God. How many read the Bible? God called you. How many read the Bible and it makes you heart to, because God called you and you accepted. There's people in the world He will not let to be accepted right now. He called you and allowed you to be accepted. That's why you should praise Him right now. You should be making noise saying, thank you, Lord. You accepted me. That's what church is for. That's what the Bible's for. To let you know that you've been accepted. Hallelujah. Salvation means you are set apart. Brother Jim, we mentioned last week, sanctification. You're sanctified, which simply means set apart from the world. God has set you apart from the world. Isn't that good enough? The world, and you look on TV, you see the whole world, people fighting and screaming and hollering, and He's called you not for none of that. He's called you for peace and to shine and have victory and be strong in the Lord. And have peace and spread love because you want everybody to have what you have. Because it didn't cost you anything. Praise God. So, repent. It must mean more to you than words. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It must create a new heart. Sin wants the old heart back. Anybody know that? You ever walk back into that same old sin again? You're walking back? Sin wants that. He's loving that. He wants the old heart to be. That old one. That dirt and darkness. Rotten flesh that smells. I know, doesn't that sound ugly, Miss Jean? Rotten flesh that smells, that's what sin is. It's rotten, ugly flesh that you can't even stand to look at, with maggots all over because it stinks that bad. I know, death, because it's death inside of your body. Shouldn't I tell you the truth? That that's inside your body like maggots floating around in there. You want to be healthy and sin is killing you. Hallelujah. That's the old heart. That's inside your heart and body. But here's the good news. You ready for good news? I'm ready for good news. God has cleansed you. Yeah. I get excited. You get excited. God has cleansed you. You have a clean heart. You fresh, alive, all over again. Like a brand new pear coming off a tree or an apple, shiny and clean. That's who you are. You have help. Let me tell you again, you're not alone. That's why you need to spread the word, because there's people in depression so deep they can't get them out of it. You got to tell them, you're not alone. I got the good news. I got a way to help you. If you'll only repent, you're a clean flesh. You want to be cleansed like God, clean and fresh. Until dark tastes like rotten milk. And I'm telling you, until the sin that you've been committing or the sins that whatever you're dealing with begins to taste in your mouth like rotten milk. Like you, oh, I'm doing this again. I'm falling back again. But you know what? I'm not getting any joy out of this. I'm not getting anything good. This is rotten inside of me. I'm drinking it and it tastes terrible on whatever I'm doing. And this sin I'm doing that I used to thought gave me pleasure is killing my body, killing my head, killing my mind. It's killing me. There's those maggots coming back inside again. That rotten flesh coming inside of you again. It tastes like rotten milk until dark is no longer desired. God is going to let it taste so bad in you if you let him. If you want to continue, he's going to let it taste so bad in you until finally one day you say, I don't want this anymore. You see, that's the victory. When you finally say, when you finally mean it when you say it, that I don't want this anymore. I don't want that rotten flesh inside. I don't want the maggots inside. I don't want that sin inside of me. I'm going to repent. And God said, how many times? You can repent 7 times a day. Repent, repent, repent. You continue to do it until you find the light. Amen? It's not a bad thing to repent. It's the greatest thing for us. You have help. You're not alone. But here's the thing with God. I tell people all the time. I tell them that healing starts immediately. The first time you realize, I have to repent, and you sit down and say, I don't want that. I don't want that smell anymore. I don't want that taste anymore. So help starts immediately. How do you say that, Pastor? Because you feel better. The fact that you realize what you're doing is wrong, and you say, I need to get away from that, then you start to feel better because you got it. You saw it, and you accepted it, and you claimed it, and now you say you want to throw it away. You want to repent. You want to move away from it. That's the healing, to set you free. You feel like I'm going to be set free. Say, I can breathe again. Anybody ever been sick, and you wake up one day, and you feel better, and say, oh, Lord, thank you. I can breathe again. I didn't think I'd be able to ever breathe again. And there, anybody ever been sick and think, oh, boy, I hope I get through this, right? And you got through it, because you're all here today. So whatever happened last year or last month or 6 months ago, whatever happened, you got through it. God carried you through it. Shouldn't you praise him for it? I think so. But that's God. You have that kind of help. I can breathe again. Hallelujah. I'm free from the burden. My brother used to say to me, and I tell you all the time because I miss him so much. Peter used to say, you know, yappas. Yeah, but there are no yabbas, Larry. No yabbas. And I don't want you to have a yabba today saying, you know, I'm repenting and I'm walking away and I'm trying to do better. But what if it comes back? I said, no yabbas. No. No yabbas when you repented. Say, what if I go back? No, because sin had a hold on you. Amen. Say that with me. Sin had a hold on you. What does that mean? Sin had you. You've repented and sin has you no more. Now you want to keep opening the door to that. You're going to have to keep repenting over and over again. But sin had you. You said, I'm going to stop doing it. So sin doesn't have you anymore. You found the pill. You took the cure. You got to repent. You're going to be repenting. No, sin had its way with you. Now you have the cure. Amen. You got medicine, doctor takes you to take this medicine and you'll be better. You have the cure, you're better. This thing with God is greater than any medicine man can come up with because it's your life. The people that you love, the people that love you, the people that you never, the people in the grocery store that you can change, you can help. The people that anywhere you go, you can help them. You can give them something that the world doesn't even understand. Imagine that. You can give them something the world has no idea of because they haven't accepted it. But if you're free from the burden, you say, I can breathe again. And you say, what if? What if it comes back? And I tell you again, I want to read this sentence one more time. Sin has had its way with you. That's past tense. Sin has had its way with you. But now you have the cure. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Baptism is a cleansing. A new birth, a new day is beautiful. John baptized Jesus. Anybody ever read that? Who is John the Baptist? Some guy. Some guy that was anointed, called walking around, repent for the Lord is repent. Everybody repent. Who was he? We don't know. Was he? I don't know what. But I can tell you one thing he wasn't. It was interesting because we were talking about it today. One thing that John wasn't, he wasn't baptized. Everything in that is funny because we're talking. Jimmy, you helped me, led me to that today. I want to thank you. John the Baptist wasn't baptized. How do I know that? Because he said to Jesus, no, I'm not baptizing you. You need to baptize me. Evidently, John didn't know, but it was a beautiful thing. John baptizes Jesus. So what's this all about? Jesus shows us the way. Let me say that again, church, okay? Jesus shows you the way. It's that important. Somebody say amen, please. It's that important that Jesus made himself our example. It means that much to him. If it means that much to him, it should be even more to us. How much more should it mean to you and me? He stood in the place of sinners. He got in that water and washed the sins away that he never had. Isn't that crazy? But he did it for us to show us the way to wash our sins away and for the new rebirth when you come up out of the water clean. It's death to the old life, raising a new life. This baptism is a big deal. We confess him, yes. We pray to him, yes. We accept him in our heart, yes. That's good. Today, in our church, for the first time, will be a public testimony. Seen outward. People are taking a huge step today. Brother James took his step about 6 months ago, Brother James, was it? Yeah. Oh, it wasn't that long?
A year ago,
yes. It seems like yesterday. And it's something he will never, ever, 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 never forget. Just like us today. We will never, ever, ever forget today. Praise God. So death to the old life, rising to a new life. We confess him, right? We confess him. We pray to him. We all do. We accept him in our hearts. That's good. But today is a public testimony, seen outward. You're taking a huge step, not in faith as much or need, but here's the other word that's beautiful. And then David and I are on the same page with this. You're taking a step in obedience. What you're doing today, what we're doing today, what we're sharing about repenting today, what we're sharing about God today, is obedience to the Word of God. Your Bible. You hold it, you read it, you turn all the pages. But today we're being obedient to His Word, to the Scriptures. Today the Scripture comes alive in front of our eyes. So the sweetest word in your Bible, to me, is repent. The significance of baptism originated in the death of Jesus Christ God's own Son who died in our place to pay for our sins. Who triumphed over death through his resurrection, securing for us new life in the Spirit and eternal life forever with God. Repent, church. Give him praise. Praise the Lord. Repent. Now it's a sweet word, right? I hope every time you see that word now, you say victory. You see, repent, don't read repent, read victory. That's victory. I'm going to change again. I'm going to do this today. I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm going to let him carry me. I'm going to let him fight my battles as I do all I can do for his love and for his ministry, for his church, for his body. God is so good. All the time. Thank you. I was putting that sermon together this week, and I wrote down three times, repent, 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 because I'm thinking that Satan hates that word. I almost hate to say Satan in church, but we can't be afraid. We're not afraid. Remember somebody told me that there were seven demons next door to us here at the opera house, and I said, yeah, they're in there because they can't come out. They can't come into the light, so they're over there. But Satan hates the word repent, because that's God. That's Jesus' favorite word, repent. And he said, oh, stop it, stop it, stop it. You're reminding me of my sins. You're reminding me of who I am. You betcha. Repent and have a new life. Give it to God. Hallelujah. That's all I got. Give him praise, church, if you will. The simplicity that is Christ. Man, we kind of make it hard. We make things hard. Jesus made it so simple. So beautiful. We do the Lord's Supper right now. And we call it the Lord's Supper. It wasn't in the Bible as the Lord's Supper. We call it the Last Supper. But it was what he did with his disciples. As he was with his disciples that night, he took the bread and he broke it and he blessed the bread, saying, this is my body being torn for you. They looked at him and didn't quite understand. Today you understand. He said, I want you to take this bread and I want you to eat it. I want you to put it inside of you so you won't forget. And then as you do it, I want you to remember and do this always in remembrance of me. In Jesus' name, church. Hallelujah. We are an imperfect church, Lord. I'm an imperfect pastor. Preaching the truth. Preaching the perfect word. I don't have time to look at somebody else's sins, Lord. I remember where the plank lies. I remember, Lord, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Oops. I remember Jesus saying, Lord, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I command you to do? So in this house this morning, on this beautiful day in September, repent. Repent. Have a changing of heart. A change of your mind. We all fall short daily. We all know where we fall short. Ask God to help you, lead you from that, protect you from that. Put walls up between you and that. You want to come back to life. You want to cleanse. You want to clean. You want God's Spirit. You want love. Repent this morning, asking God to forgive any iniquity between you and him. He poured the wine into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you, according to the book of Matthew, for the remission of your sins. All he did for us. And all he asks is that we do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. Somebody be healed today. Somebody thank God for blessing. All the blessings that we have. All the blessings that we've had to even get us to this church. Because last night when you went to sleep, today was not a promise. But here you are. And if God gave you today, he gave you great and mighty things to do for him. to change a person's life, change a person's heart. Give somebody hope that will change their life forever, what you can do. Because God has decided to give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Last week we said we don't want to be like the Pharisees. Remember I said the Pharisees told Jesus to have everybody just stop talking. So I said if the Pharisees walk into this church, I want them to be so upset because they hear all the noise in here and they come up to me and say, Pastor, tell these people to stop praising him. And that's exactly what I want this church to be, is a praiseful church. And I want the Pharisees to come in here and get annoyed and have to leave because you're all praising the Lord with that kind of voice. I don't want this to be a Pharisee church. I pray that every Sunday, I pray that every day, that this is not a Pharisee church, and it's not. But I just want you to get more excited, to go ahead and praise him. You're not clapping to me, you're not clapping to Doreen, how beautiful she sang in Madison. You're praising God for the song, you're praising God for the spirit of the music. How great thou art, Lord, how great thou art. Amazing grace, Lord. It's all about him, and that's what it's all about. Friday night on the green, thank you for being there. That was something. God never took my music from me. I want you to know he doesn't take stuff from me. I've been playing music since I was 17. I played Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, Buck Owens, and God liked it. You play your music, it brings you a lot of joy. It brings people joy. He let me play that music on that green over there last, but it was all unto him. Every song I play, I thank God for the music that I play. But God loves it when you praise him and sing to him. You just say, thank you, that was great. She sang how great thou art. And I asked her to do that last verse and she did it. And that was my heart, you know, just with the shouts of acclamation. Shouts of acclamation. Every time, how can you read the Bible and see chiefs sing and shout and then not shout? How can you not shout? It says shout. People say they shouldn't have instruments and music in church. But the Bible says, praise him with string instruments. So how can I do what the Bible says to do if I don't have my string instrument? And you praise him with your voice and with your clapping and with your dancing. We had a woman who used to come here and used to run around the church and dance. She was crazy for God. She didn't care what people thought. She got up and run around and clapped and woo! And we actually had a combo line one time here. Imagine that. We had about 10 people in a combo line going and dancing, praising God. I'm not dancing. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing for my bride and I today to have Madison here. And have her want to sing. Have her want to be baptized. And have her want to go to church. And you know what she does every day? She reads her Bible every day. She's raised that. And you know a big reason for that? And my bride and I are going to take just a little of that was because of you all. Because of this church. Because she came to this church. She saw her man singing. She saw this church. She loves it. She, you know, I've been speaking out of line, but she's trying to find a church in Tennessee like the church her Papa and her Nana had. She wants a church that talks about God and talks about the Bible. And we are so thankful that you raise a child. Not every child you have is going to be like that. Trust me, we got other ones who kind of like God. And I got a son. Boy, I got to beat him over the head every day. And I got to pray for him every day because I don't know what he believes. And he won't tell me. But I know my God is greater than all that stuff. So I hear. But we're so thankful. And I never want to stop saying thank you, Lord. Amen. We are so thankful for what God has. And I'm thankful for this beautiful church that we had. Some people 150 years ago built this church, and here we are using the fruits of their labor. And we're keeping the church alive. Yes. So you're doing God's work. You ever think of that? You're doing God's work. And I want to get ahead of myself. You know, I'm always good at that. But there's a book in the Bible, and I'm doing a study myself on it. That you ever read something and wake up and say, oh my God, I get it. Oh my God, that's something. There's a book in the Bible that's still alive today. That's alive today. We start with that book, but that book in the Bible is action today. I gave you a little hint what it was. It's the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. Without the book of Acts, we wouldn't know what happened after John. After John, right, we don't know what's going on. We don't know who Paul was or why he was or what he did. We don't know any of that except for the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. And what were they doing? They're spreading the word of God. They're spreading the word of God. That's what they did. They spread the word of God all through, everywhere they went. They traveled all over. They didn't have cars in airplanes, so wherever they went, they spread the word of God. But this is what I got. This is where maybe you already felt it. But this is what I got when I started reading. I said, what do we do in this church? We spread the word of God. What do you do in Oasis, beautiful church? What did they do there? They spread the word of God. In St. Mary's Church, they spread the word of God. In St. Michael's Church, they spread. In your church in Huntington, in Sheltonville, they spread the word of God. Amen? Yeah. So the book of Acts continues. I just thought that's crazy. The Bible is still alive from that book. Yeah. We're all spreading the word of God. Give him praise. I love this place. Lord, thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Father. The benediction for a blessing for all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Peace. May you have health. May you repent today and know that the sweetest word in the Bible is victory. Every time you hear that word, you think of something you can let go in victory. Repent and let God fill that void. Let God fill the void that ugly stench was filling. And give it to God, and that's victory. There's victory in the Lord today. May you have his peace. May you have the joy. He wants your joy to be full. May you find and say, Lord, it's not full yet. I'm going to praise you more. I want that full joy. Promise to me by God that we're going to be obedient to the word of this church. In Jesus' precious name. And Zippy, if you would, we're going to ask God to bless our beautiful country.
God bless America.